Hi, listeners. Welcome to the Lori Files podcast. I'm your host for today, Natu, one of the co-founders of Lori Files. I'm so excited to host today's episode because we have a very special guest. Our story begins in 2017 when we created a website as a weekend project, which would eventually become the Lori Files we know today. After completing the project in a few hours, we casually tweeted it to the guest saying, "Hey, check out our weekend project." And then he responded with a tweet by saying, "Hello, Lori Files." It was the very first introduction of Lori Files to the world, and the rest is history. Our guest has worked in companies like Google, Airbnb, and now at Tonal. He's one of the founding members of Lori at Airbnb. Welcome, Gabe, to the Lori Files podcast.
Hey, thank you so much for having me on.
So excited to have you, Gabe. Can you introduce yourself to our listeners?
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you for the warm welcome. And as you mentioned, I've worked at a few software companies doing mostly Android. I was working on Android Auto at Google, Android and React Native at Airbnb, and now I'm an Android tech lead at Tonal, a fitness company. And along the way, I've worked on a few open source projects like Lori, of course, which is why we're here, as well as Mavericks, which is another Android open source library that helps with building the architecture of your app.
That's amazing to hear. You have kickstarted Lori and has been an active contributor since day one. Just curious, how did it all start?
So the true origin story of Lori really goes back and the credit should be given to Hernan Torrisi. He is an amazing engineer who built something called BodyMovin. At that time, it was an After Effects plugin that took an animation and exported it as JSON, which you're now probably familiar with, as well as a web renderer. So take the JSON and play it on web. And that was it. That was the whole thing. I think he started working on it in 2014 or 15. It's quite a while ago now. But just being on web, it had a significant bundle size at the time, and it was not cross-platform. So it didn't gain that much traction. But it was picked up by Salih Abdul-Karim and Brandon Withrow, a motion designer and iOS engineer at Airbnb. And they saw these JSON files, and Salih said, "Hey, I've never been able to ship my work before. And everything I always build is always the first thing that gets cut from any project. What if I could send you a JSON file? Could you play that?" And Brandon said, "Well, not today, but if Hernan could build a web player, maybe we could build an iOS player." And there happened to be an upcoming hackathon at Airbnb. And so they set to work. They started by exporting a square. And then they made it rotate. And then they made it slide around the screen. And they made a circle. And then they made arbitrary shapes. And then it built up into what you know as Lori iOS. But at one point, it was maybe 10% of where it is today. And I saw this incredible demo of an animated light bulb. And I said, "This thing is incredible. But it's really going to be more valuable if it exists on all the platforms. Getting the full trifecta of web, iOS, and Android makes it so much more compelling than even one or two of those platforms." So I set out to try to make a square and then make it rotate and then make it translate. And I was fully expecting at some point to just hit some Android API that didn't exist, that made it impossible to achieve what you know as Lori today. But it never happened. We just kept building on Lori and building and building and building. And then at some point we figured, hey, we should maybe open source this thing. It's kind of cool. And we didn't expect much out of it. BodyMovin hadn't gained that much traction, and no one had really ever attempted anything like this before. So we just open sourced it, not expecting much out of it. And then almost overnight, it became this huge hit, like much bigger than we ever expected, which then led to the creation of Lori Files and everything that has happened since.
That is super interesting. And it's also what I find so fascinating about open source. It's cool to see somebody starts at the beginning, then someone else picks it up and then contributes to build on top of that. Then somebody else and another, a chain of contributors that keep it moving, making it better and better. I remember even when Lori came about, I was a product designer just simply trying to bring motion to the apps. Then when I first stumbled upon Lori, I thought, this is pretty cool. This is for mobile. So what were your biggest questions that you received right after Lori was done and basic animations were able to run on iOS and Android.
There have been so many iterations then. So we go back to Lottie 1.0, and today on Android, we're at 3.5, something like that. And each major release has brought a series of changes or improvements, almost entirely driven by conversations and requests from the community. A number of them have been around performance. Performance is really important to make these things feel fast and fluid. And so we've made a huge number of performance improvements, from reducing memory allocations during animations. And at this point, Lottie Android allocates zero objects in its hot path, to reducing the performance overhead of using things like masks and mats, which still incur performance overhead, but it's proportional to the size of the mat or mask, which was not the case at the beginning. So we've made a number of performance improvements, and there was one particular test animation. I think I found it on Lottie Files, actually. And on my test device, it used to be something like 2 FPS, and now it's almost 60 for the same animation. So there's been a series of performance improvements, as well as a number of features. So things like, I mean, After Effects is this huge tool. It was designed for open-ended video editing, and we will never support all of the features of After Effects, but there are certainly more features. We could support more features than we had in 1.0. So we've added things like you can trim path individual shapes, or you can have the trim path traverse multiple shapes sequentially. But what else have we added? We've had different kinds of alpha mats, inverted masks, tons of new functionality like that. The biggest open request that we get is probably around expressions. And expressions are only supported on web. They're a really tough feature because under the hood, it's effectively an open-ended JavaScript render player. You can wire up two things and make arbitrary JavaScript expressions, which are, of course, easy to evaluate on the web, but nearly impossible to evaluate on Android and iOS. So we're still lacking that functionality on Android and iOS. And frankly, it's unclear whether we will ever support that.
Yeah, just by looking at the request, we can see that expression is hands down one of the most requested features. Expression is also something new for most starting out motion designers. Going back to the time before Lottie, did you try to get motion to the apps you were building, or were you coding animations manually?
So the funny thing is that from a personal perspective, I had hardly ever worked with a motion designer or incorporated a motion design into an app. And part of the reason for that is that there was no way to do it. And the few people who were creating beautiful motion designs had no way to ship their work. Everyone else has a way to ship something. As an engineer, you ship your code. As a visual designer, you can ship a JPEG, a WebP, an SVG, anything static. So you just export it and you can ship it and play it on any platform. But there was never such a tool for motion designers. So they would create these beautiful animations, and then nothing would happen. It would never be able to ship it. And inevitably, every project is up against a tight deadline or some sort of scope creep. And it's always motion design that gets cut first. So not only was it something that I hadn't really interacted with, I think as an industry, it never got a chance to have legs, because there was no way to have an impact without a tool to directly ship their work. And I remember Salih, shortly after we launched, he turned to me and he said, "You just added $50,000 worth of salary to every motion designer in the entire world, because they can now ship their work for the first time." And I have to admit, it made me kind of proud and humbled, like truly humbled to hear that, because not only we've effectively created a new industry within the design world.
Yeah, I can relate to part of that. I've been on the design front and tech side as well, where I've seen a lot of developers coding animation on either Android, iOS, and then again, web as well, manipulating the SVGs using JavaScript. Given that Lottie expanded quickly right after you open source it, how did the reaction from the community impacted you personally, given that you started this as a hackathon thing very internally and releasing this as a library? How was that feeling like?
I mean, this journey with Lottie has really been beyond anything I ever would have imagined. It really started as a hackathon project and a quick demo. And it was like, oh, let me just try this. And it was kind of addicting. Like, I don't know if you've ever worked on a project where you're making quick progress. You get this dopamine rush over and over again. And you're like, I got the square to turn blue. I got it to rotate. I got it to animate. And now it looks like a light bulb. And now it's sparkling. And now it does this. And now it does this. And it was just such a satisfying project to work on. And I'm someone who really enjoys coding. And it was just something that got me in this like flow state that you just, it's so compelling. But then it's taken on this life of its own where at this point, admittedly, I don't get the opportunity to use Lottie that frequently in my day job. I'm an Android engineer and engineering manager. And just frankly, like the particular projects and things that I've worked on at work, I haven't wound up using Lottie all that much. So at this point, almost all of the work I do in Lottie is on nights and weekends. And I could probably do some back of the envelope math to quantify it. But at this point, I've literally spent thousands of hours working in Lottie in some capacity and almost entirely on nights and weekends. And I do lots of things that are not Lottie. And this is over the span of years. So it's not like I'm spending all of my nights and weekends on it, but it's turned into this interesting project where it's simultaneously a passion project. It's one that I've personally benefited from just by having something in the open that clearly I've put a lot of work into that people can see. It's made a big impact on a lot of people, and people have told me the positive impact it's had on them, which is very satisfying. But it also takes an incredible amount of time on nights and weekends for me, where people likely think that it's like a whole team at Airbnb who maintains this thing. And it was like Airbnb's idea to do it. But in reality, it's kind of just a hackathon project turned legitimate and maintained mostly on nights and weekends.
Thank you for all your contributions to Lottie. I know for a fact that Lottie Files wouldn't have existed if you did not put that work in, kept on improving the players, improving or contributing to the Lottie project. Gabe, in your journey, what was one challenge that had you thinking, hey, I can't do this, only to find yourself, I want to give up? Can you recall any moment like that?
So I think that there was one particular optimization I was trying to make, which would have allowed us to do mats and masks without doing something called save layer, where you render a mask or a mat to an off-screen buffer and then render it back. Using, instead of off-screen buffers, it would use merging paths together. And theoretically, it could dramatically improve the performance of mats and masks, but ran into two problems. One is that those when you merge paths, they were not anti-aliased. And so right now, Lottie's, they never get pixelated, but in this particular case, they could. And then on top of that, I ran into a number of bugs in either Skia on newer versions of Android or HUI, HWUI, on pre-Skia, so pre-Oreo devices, where you would merge certain complex shapes and the output would just be wrong. And we were pushing the Android graphics renderer to its limit to a point where you just have platform bugs, or it'll work on Samsung, but then it wouldn't work on Huawei. And I spent dozens of hours getting it to the point where it pretty much worked perfectly. And then there were these bugs that were just can't fix.
And on that note, how's your testing like? Because I can't imagine if you push something upstream with a bug, the biggest apps in the world would crash. So how do you feel about these tests, the contributions and the improvements you're making? What about the responsibilities that you hold today, knowing that this affects all the top apps in the world?
It is honestly a lot of pressure, because at the end of the day, it's mostly just me. It's hard to even get anyone to code review, which is like unheard of for a company. Everything gets code reviewed, and there's no question that you would go through a detailed process for something, especially that has this scope. And it's hard to have that luxury in an open source project. But one thing that I tried to do in lieu of that is to build comprehensive regression tests, because believe me, the burden of shipping it, making a change that would break someone's app, render something wrong, change the behavior is weighs on me deeply. And I was afraid of getting into a position where I was afraid to touch the code base because of the implications of getting it wrong. So over the years, I built up quite a comprehensive testing infrastructure. So every time any change is pushed to Lottie, it runs literally thousands of animations, many of which are from Lottie files, actually, as a regression test suite. And for each animation, it renders out a film strip snapshot of 25 progress intervals throughout the animation, and then does a pixel by pixel diff of every pixel against the existing version and then generates a report where I can see exactly which ones were added, which ones were changed, which ones were the same. You can kind of slide across them and see exactly what changed. And so I'm pretty proud that I can't remember the last time that I've shipped a regression in the rendering quality. Nothing has actually rendered correctly before and then broken in a subsequent release since I rolled this out. On the flip side, while fixing other bugs, I've actually realized that people have shipped some broken animations that now work. So there's one that I always thought was funny where it was shipped in the Uber app, actually. And it was some sort of celebratory thing. And this was years ago. So this is not some unreleased product, but it had a confetti and the confetti flew up from the bottom of the screen. And there were like three stray confetti that like flipped around and came back down. And the rest went up and it looked really silly. And I like fixed the bug that caused them to animate incorrectly. And then I'm not sure they ever noticed, but fix their animation for them.
You mentioned earlier about the limitation and Lottie may not support all the Adobe After Effects features because it's mainly built for video production. And I think the simplest thing you could do in After Effects is actually create a Lottie using shapes, rectangles, trim path, and so on. What is one advice you would give to a designer knowing that, hey, these limitations exist today, but despite that, what would make their work life easier?
So the first thing I would do is check out our documentation website, airbnb.io/Lottie. It has a table of supported After Effects features. Get to know them. Use the features that are supported. Don't use the ones that are not supported. Some features like expressions will work on web, but not Android or iOS. Then the second thing I would do is to avoid using masks and mats when possible. If they're really small, it's okay. The performance overhead is proportional to the intersection area of the mask or mat and the content that it's masking or matting. So you want to get that as small as possible. Like I mentioned this animation that used to be 5 frames per second and now it's 60. It's a shopping bag and a bunch of like bananas fly out of it. And each banana is its own mask. And it used to be the whole animation would have to get rendered off screen for each banana. There's like 50 of them. And now it's only the small banana. So it made a big difference. So check that out. The second thing I would do is to avoid using images whenever you can. The performance is not terrible, but for the most part, Lottie is designed to work with vectors. So sometimes you have an actual image that you want to animate with Lottie, and that's okay. But I've seen a lot of animations, many of which are on Lottie files, where somebody will just somehow rasterize all of their shapes into images and then they'll animate their images around, which is you're losing all of the benefits of Lottie. You're losing the performance, you're losing size, you're losing the memory benefits. So you lose almost all of the benefits of Lottie when you replace all your shapes with images. I think a common way that this happens is when people import Illustrator files. And for whatever reason, when you import a file from Illustrator, by default, the Illustrator layer in After Effects will then export as a rasterized image from BodyMovin. So make sure to take those and convert them to shape layers before you export them. And then the last tip I would add would be using Lottie files, actually. It's a really common workflow. Is either using the After Effects plugin for the Lottie files After Effects plugin, or you export your animation, drag it onto the Lottie files, you get a QR code. And then there's a Lottie sample app on the Play Store. There's a Lottie files one as well. You can scan the QR code and it'll play on Android or iOS. And then you can make sure it actually looks correct. Because you have to remember that the renderers on web and Android and iOS are all separate code bases. We do our best to make them compatible and have the same feature set. But at the end of the day, there will be some differences. So you do want to make sure that it actually works on the different platforms.
These are one of the most frequently brought up questions from day one. As I maintain the community for years, I've seen questions even from designers wanting help. Hey, I've done masks, I've done gradients, but it doesn't work. I think the Lottie Files community has been such an amazing space, helping one another, communicating and sharing. They want to teach one another and may even create YouTube videos around how one can get started with Lottie and teach what they know. Our community is awesome and I'm so grateful for them. Gabe, what is one of the coolest projects that you've seen done in Lottie? You were like, hey, wow, this is amazing. I love this.
I've seen a couple of good ones. I would say Duolingo has done a great job. They've always had a really fun illustrated character games, and they've really leaned into Lottie in a big way with animating all kinds of places in their app and really infusing Lottie to make their mascot and their interactions come to life. So they've done an amazing job. And then the other one, kind of surprisingly, is Google, actually. Google has really leaned into Lottie in a big way, and almost every Google app now uses it, from Google Search, Google Photos, Google Home, the Android OS setup wizard, Arts and Gallery, Google Maps, Android Auto, like everything across the board. Almost every Google app seems to be using it these days. But my favorite Lottie integration, I think, is probably the Google Home app. So if you ever set up a Chromecast or a Google Home, when you're setting it up, in between these steps, they have these bouncing, dancing shapes. They're really cute and creative, and they've done a really nice job creating segmented Lottie transitions so that there's an intro animation where the shapes come in, and then there's a looping version of it where it can loop while Wi-Fi is connecting or the Google Home is updating, and then it'll transition smoothly to an outro animation. And it's just so elegantly done. In fact, it's supporting some of those seamless multi-step transitions is one of the things that I'm focusing on going forward.
Yeah, I think those two examples are my favorite as well. Have you noticed the Google Home app? They have a different Lottie animation for the dark mode too.
Yeah, and I just set up Android 12 on an old Pixel 3 that I have. And the setup wizard has tons of animations. It's really incredible to see how creative they're getting, and they're building this beautiful, cohesive, playful style because of Lottie.
Gabe, what is one experiment around Lottie that you always thought would be amazing? One thing you always think about but didn't get to start yet?
I would love to build an expression engine. I think there's so many different ways to do it, but it's almost at that point, you're almost re-implementing a JavaScript language interpreter in Kotlin or Java. And I think it would unlock a lot of really interesting, cool animations, but it's just to do that accurately and at scale would be really hard. I've thought about maybe light versions of expressions where we could, and I think not to have talked to you about this, of maybe analyzing like the top 10,000 expressions that are used to see if there's any specific patterns that can be recognized. Something as simple as like tying two properties together, like this rotation equals that rotation. And if we could do some sort of regular expression parsing or something like that to recognize some simple expressions, maybe we could start to support them. But even that would be a pretty big ask.
Yeah, that would change the game quite a lot. And I've seen people doing all kinds of cool stuff with Lottie on the web because expression support is there. Real-time interactivity, connecting the webcams and making the skeleton rigs. So many possibilities with Lottie and expressions.
One thing that Android and iOS do support is dynamic properties. So you can effectively wire up your own transitions. You can tie things to gestures and accelerometer data and download progress. You can change colors. You can move things around. You can scale the time around for specific layers. So you can get in there and get really creative, but it goes back to the like almost the pre-Lottie days where a motion designer can't just give you something and expect it to be done. You have to do some coding on the side. And anytime you now couple these things together, it becomes almost the first thing that gets cut in a project, unfortunately.
I'm pretty sure we will start seeing one of these projects soon enough, because every day some new project surprises us, both on the web and also on the mobile. Lottie has grown so big since it was launched 4 years ago. There's multiple companies jumping in to support it and add additional features or even build players to it. We've seen Google working with Scotty. There's Samsung with our Lottie, and then there's QT Lottie Player. With all kind of players and features coming up, how do you see Lottie today?
Lottie is almost the perfect child of an open source world where it started as this format and everyone's kind of a free for all. And anyone is open to build their own player, their renderer, their own integrations with it. Anyone can take any part of it and run with it in where they see caps. And frankly, I think it's great. I as the maintainer of the Android library, I would not feel bad if someone were to come along and say, hey, we redid it and it's like better in every way. I'd be, I guess, a little bit sad, but I think that's still a win for everyone. If it's in fact better, then it's better, right? So it's cool to see all this interest from different platforms, different big companies, as you mentioned, from Samsung and Google working on these things. And I'm relatively active in the community. I do meet with the Scotty team. There's a Lottie renderer for Skia at Google. And I've even had conversations with Rive. I'm familiar with their team and what they're doing. And I think it feels a little bit parallel to Lottie. You could call it a competitor if you like, but they're doing some really amazing work. And I love seeing what they're doing and making beautiful animations, a beautiful player. It's Flutter first with an Android and iOS beta. So just, I'm excited to see what happens in the space. Phones are getting really fast. Before, the performance was a really big issue, but it's not, it's something I hear surprisingly infrequently is anything around. So it's just, it's an exciting space to be in. And there's also there's a lot of converging technologies that are pushing product design to think about motion and transitions and surfaces more than they used to. You see this with what's going on right now with Material U, the new design language from Google, and new frameworks like Jetpack Compose on Android, and which it's actually multi-platform, and Swift UI. They're designed from the ground up to create really beautiful interactive product experiences. And I think that this new world where everyone is going to start will just open up a possibility and get and push people in a direction where it just makes a ton of sense to infuse it with a little bit of motion with Lottie.
I know the state that we are in today is like a dream for an open source maintainer or creator, getting that adopted in all the big companies in the world, or massive adoption, both in the implementation and in the creation. This has added a lot of value to the motion designers and even developers that work with motion. I think Lottie is an interesting way to introduce motion to non-motion people, like developers. Even for yourself, you must have learned so much about motion design. What is your vision or something that you want to see in the future? What is Lottie's potential and its future playfield?
I think you actually hit the nail on the head there. I think the biggest thing here is that we brought motion to the table. Motion never had a seat at the table before. They were left out, and this feels like this perfect combination of timing and tools, where there's this interest in the industry now, and there are tools both from Lottie, or whether it be Lottie or Rive or Jetpack Compose or Swift UI or Material U or whatever your tool or design language of choice is, where all of a sudden everything is converging into this world where ultimately it'll lead to more beautiful, more fluid, more natural feeling interactions. And whether the feature is through Lottie as it is today, or improved versions of Lottie, or something else entirely, I think it's only headed in a direction where motion design has a seat at the table and everybody wins because we get better and more beautiful apps.
That is definitely a shared vision that we have for Lottie and motion design. What is the next big thing that you're working on?
So as I've mentioned a couple of times in this podcast, there's this new thing called Jetpack Compose. And it is the next generation UI toolkit for Android, as well as it's being extended to other platforms like desktop and web. But really, Jetpack Compose for Android is a huge deal. It's the difference between going from like jQuery to React on the web, or Objective-C to Swift UI. And it's a fundamental transformation on the way that UIs and interfaces will get built on Android. And if you're more technically minded, it's switching from an imperative model where you're calling out to Lottie functions like play and pause to a declarative model where you just say, this is a Lottie animation that's playing. And it's forcing me to really reconsider how you use Lottie from the ground up. Every single API, how you interact with it, how do you trim it between a minimum and a maximum progress? How do you do dynamic properties? How do you build a transition like the Google Home one with an intro and a looping middle section and an outro? And actually, at this very moment, I have a couple PRs up on GitHub that really lay out the groundwork for what I think is going to be a really successful transition to Jetpack Compose. But it's been really fun as the whole community has been iterating and learning Jetpack Compose together to use this as an opportunity to really think the core interaction with Lottie. Under the hood, it's the same Lottie renderer as the existing Lottie Android render. It calls out to the same root canvas draw render pipeline that the existing Lottie uses. So from a rendering compatibility perspective, it's completely identical, but the entire way that you interact with it, all of the APIs have been completely reimagined from the ground up for Jetpack Compose.
That is amazing. And I'm pretty sure a lot more animations and motion will come to apps with Jetpack Compose. I'm not very familiar with it, but is it something closer to Swift UI on the iOS side?
It's very analogous to Swift UI. And both teams learned a lot from the web community and React, and almost in parallel had a very similar vision to what a new declarative component-based UI framework would look like, one in Swift and one in Kotlin. So yeah. It's a very exciting time in the Android community as we're all transitioning to it. And it's set to go hit 1.0 stable in July. So I'm racing up against that clock to finalize Lottie for Jetpack Compose.
Awesome. Can you tell us how the community can support your contributions and how can our listeners stay connected with you?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm pretty available on Twitter at any point. My handle is gpeel8. And you can also GitHub repos at Airbnb/Lottie-Android. And if you want to contribute directly, either through pull requests or documentation, you're welcome to do so. But if you found Lottie really useful for you or your company, we do accept GitHub sponsors and we're on Open Collective. So as I mentioned, I've personally spent literally thousands of hours on nights and weekends building almost everything that Lottie Android is today, and almost single-handedly too. Something like 99% of the contributions have been my own on this particular project. And so GitHub sponsors and Open Collective do make a meaningful contribution. It's not going to a company. It's not going to people who are doubling up against their salary. It is going to nights and weekends work to make sure that the project is healthy and maintained and continues to improve over time.
Would love to echo that. It takes nights and days to work on these. And in your case, you even work on airplanes as well. I heard that that's one of your favorite places to work.
How much of Lottie's been built on airplanes? It provides this incredible, well-scoped, like I just, every time I get on a plane, I basically always pick like a specific thing for Lottie. It's a great project because you don't need the internet. You can just sit down and get in the zone. So I'm definitely that guy on his MacBook coding away in an airplane, but I find it to be the most relaxing and best place to focus in the entire world.
To code motion, you have to be moving, right?
Yes, motion in the most literal sense.
I just want to echo the call to sponsors. Do contribute to GitHub sponsors for Lottie libraries and also to Open Collective. Even Lottie Files as a company, we've been contributing from day one through sponsorships on GitHub and on Open Collective. We've seen there are amazing companies using Lottie extensively. Please do contribute to the project to keep it going and adding it to the benefit to the rest of the community.
And just recently, actually, GitHub added, in the last couple of weeks, they added me and Lottie Android to GitHub sponsors beta in which companies can contribute. So if it's not, it doesn't have to be you personally, it can actually come from your corporate GitHub account, because that's often a little bit easier to negotiate because it's a work project in most cases. So that's an option. That's a relatively new option that is on the table now.
Thanks a lot again, Gabe, for your time, insight, and sharing a lot of stories about your journey with Lottie.
Thank you so much for having me. If any of you haven't really dug into Lottie Files to see the incredible breadth of animations that are available in that community, or use the tools from the After Effects plugin and the Android app. And it's just, I'm so proud of what they've done. It's fun to watch. Can't wait to see what the whole community is going to come up with next.
Thank you, Gabe. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in today. Go check out lottiefiles.com and get started with bringing in motion to your products and designs today.